All right, this is a late night emergency update. I have some exclusive information and perspective to share with you today that 99% of people are completely oblivious to with respect to what's about to unfold in the next 48 hours up to the election and what the geopolitical ramifications are going to be. Now, before I talk about my predictions for who I think is going to win the election and how that's going to affect things overseas, I should quickly bring you up to speed with respect to this covert deployment of U.S. forces to the Middle East that everybody is pretty much unaware of, except, of course, for you guys and a few others. Now, right now, a total of 6 B-52H long-range strategic bombers, as well as a squadron of F-15 Strike Eagles and several aerial refueling tankers have been ordered and will soon arrive in the Middle East. This is on top of the B-52 Stratofortress planes that arrived yesterday that we talked about that are in fact nuclear capable planes. Okay, we talked yesterday about the preponderance of force within the region, be it nuclear submarines with dozens of Tomahawk missiles, strike carrier groups, amphibious ready groups throughout the Middle East. The United States has a lot of naval assets and they're amassing a lot of aerial, specifically strike platforms within the region. Now, this current administration, who is very reticent about aligning too sharply with the Israelis, for them to be amassing all of this force on the eve of an election that many think we're going to see a lame duck presidency, at least, you know, in the sense that Kamala will not be elected and this will be Joe Biden's final 2 months. Why would they be committing that type of military force in that region at this point of time? Well, I think I might have connected the dots, okay? I think I might have an explanation for why this is happening. First, however, I want to quickly tell you about some movements of Iranian forces as well. Senior Iranian officials are confirming to Axios that indeed there was a transfer of ballistic missiles in 74 different areas in Iran and that this is part of preparations for an attack on Israel. Now, 74 areas in Iran doesn't mean 74 missiles. We've seen when the Iranians launch these missiles, typically there's like a dozen or so at once. So we could expect to see hundreds of these missiles. But what's more is that this is going to be a coordinated attack across the axis. The Wall Street Journal reports that Iran plans to attack Israel with heavier warheads than in its previous attacks. Remember when we were witnessing that and we thought that the fireballs were rather small? This is going to be a different thing altogether. And in addition to that, its army is planning to join the Revolutionary Guards in a joint attack. This signals that this is going to be coordinated across the axis. This is going to be the real deal attack by the Iranians against the Israelis, which is why the Americans are amassing this force. Now, the question is that a lot of people are asking, why does Iran feel the need to do this? It appears as though Iran knows that a fight is inevitable. And if you know a fight is inevitable, you try to throw the first punch. I do believe that this attack by Iran is going to attempt to debilitate the Israeli forces and incapacitate them in a way that will limit their ability to do any sort of substantial counterattack in the short term. And you have to think about this because, of course, this is going to bring the United States into war. Secretary SecDef said this, Joe Biden has said this as well, that this would be casus belli, potentially, for us to enter into the war on the side of Israel. So why then would Iran risk bringing the United States and all of its strategic bombers into this conflict just to teach Israel a lesson? It doesn't make any sense. They know something big is coming. And this is where the election comes into play, guys. Okay? Are you ready? Now, what if the chaos that is expected after the election is so bad that they need a massive distraction. Going back to this idea of why would the Democrats, the democratically run government, why would they be sending these bombers, these strike platforms? Why are they sending all this shit to Iran now? Some might say deterrence. Some might say it's continuity of government related. It's possible. But it seems as though it would be more in line with their force postures thus far to just send more defensive types of equipment into the region if their goal was to truly de-escalate, which I don't think it is. I think that after the results of the election that half the country is not going to like, they're going to need a diversion, okay? And that diversion is going to come in some flashbulb form. It's going to likely be a war with Iran, okay? But hear me out on this, because I recently did a poll that asked people, what would you do if Trump loses? Or what do you think the result is going to be if Trump loses? And I distinctly say Trump losing, because if you're reading social media right now, and I understand there's a social media confirmation virus built into your personalized algorithm, I get that, but it appears as though Kamala is the underdog, or at least has been for the last few weeks, okay? But that could all just be false. I just say that because it appears as though many people who didn't vote for Trump last time are jumping over to the other side of the aisle this time. So I asked people, what do you think the outcome would be if Trump lost? And here's the results. No civil unrest, 25%. Peaceful protest, 14%. So that's about 38% of a preparedness population that thinks if Trump loses, it's really not going to be no big deal. Now, this is a preparedness population. So I would think that the average person might even score a little higher on that end. But here's where things get interesting. January 6, 2.0, another low level, a doomed to failure insurrection attempt, 14%. Very similar, neck and neck with peaceful protests, which makes me think that I should have had another possible option here that was like, you know, some violent protest, but not quite a January 6, 2.0. I think that's what people are trying to tell me here, that it's somewhere in between. Civil war, 47.4%. Now, this is where we have to look at, if you were our adversaries, right? And you wanted, let me ask you a question first. If you're Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un, Vladimir Putin, Ayatollah Khamenei, who would you want to win this election? Some people might say, well, you know, the Ayatollah might not want Putin or Trump to win, and everybody else might want him to win. But it's actually a trick question, because they don't care who wins, just as long as there is a lot of social chaos shortly thereafter. The only way that any of them stand to benefit anything is if there is domestic discord after the elections that needs to be quelled, that takes away from the United States' ability to project itself around the world. They need social chaos. Vladimir Putin has explicitly stated he doesn't care who runs the United States. You got to think these are authoritarian leaders, as we call them, who are long-term leaders. They don't look at this president as, and all of their idiosyncrasies, as something they have to wrestle with. They just look at it as another in a series of deep state, interagency, continuity of government puppets that they have to address and they have to deal with. They're thinking about this in multi-terms, okay? They're not just thinking about it for this term. So what they benefit from most is civil unrest. So if you're Putin, if you're Xi Jinping, if you're Kim Jong-un, you know that at this point in time, what's going to cause more civil unrest is likely going to be a Trump loss. Yes, a Trump loss. Kamala winning will, and this is counterintuitive because, yes, I know George Floyd and the Antifa protests and all this other largely inconsequential shit that is easily quelled, you know, after a few Molotov cocktails are, you know, thrown and they bring in the National Guard, then it's over, right? These things are not very well organized. They're largely decentralized and very benign for the most part. Yes, they can be disruptive, but, and I'm sure they would settle for that too, don't get me wrong. But I think this go around, many people are actually rooting, at least on that side, for a Trump loss. Counterintuitively, I think the media, the so-called liberal media, actually wants Trump to win because that they know that their ratings go way up for the next 4 years, but that's another story. So right now our adversaries are banking on Kamala to win because they know that's going to likely thrust the United States into a tailspin and potentially cause a lot of domestic violence to unfold. A lot of people who are under, you know, all kinds of economic austerity and immiseration are going to likely take to the streets because you have a lot of really influential people saying very provocative things, like Elon Musk, for example, saying that if Trump loses, it's effectively over and it's the end of free speech and it's the end and the end and the end. And so that's going to lead a lot of people to feel disenfranchised and hopeless. And when that happens with the people with guns, because let's face it, the right, the rural right, have more access and are more typically more resourceful. Okay, they're typically older. They typically have more firearms. They're typically better connected. And, you know, they're more involved in militia, paramilitary activities. So the likelihood for some serious, intractable escalation is higher, I think, if Kamala wins. And I'm trying to say that from a an impartial third party. That's what I'm looking at this as. So what they need, though, to take attention away from that. So when Kamala wins, if she wins, she may not. It might be a blowout. And I want to say on record right now, it could be a blowout for Trump. It really could be. But if Kamala wins, and the reason, and if I'm thinking that, right, if I'm thinking that there's a good chance Trump is going to win, even though Alan Lichtman is, you know, seems to be very persistent with his predictions, and he's made very accurate predictions that she is going to win. If, in fact, she wins, they're going to need a distraction. And that distraction is going to be a major flare-up of hostilities in Iran. Think about it. Kamala wins the election. There's riots in the streets, okay? And people are rallying around the Capitol once again. All of a sudden, there's a major attack against Israel, right? And then the USA has to go in there and save Israel. And then we start bombing Iran. And maybe there's a nuclear incident. And then that's it. Everybody's attention is taken away by that. So on the one hand, our adversaries are banking for civil unrest and disorder, and I would not put it past them for creating some sort of disruptions on election day. I would not put it past any of our adversaries to engage in some sort of cyber attack on that day or some other thing that might cause disruption, some other type of, you know, terrorist-style attacks within the country, because it would be an opportune time to do it because you want to create chaos. The only thing that brings down the American empire is internal chaos. And that's the only way to forestall America's involvement, increasing involvement in all of these conflicts around the world. Anything short of that, regardless of who's put into power, I mean, just look at the people that Trump's surrounding with himself with, Lindsey Graham, Pompeo, they're going to go in every direction, like war hawks like you've never seen before, okay? And unfortunately, Trump is getting up there in age. He's very sharp. He has a lot of endurance and stamina. But, you know, we don't know what he's going to look like at the tail end of his term either. And there's a lot of people who are going to be hovering around him, trying to get him to sign on to things that might be antithetical to the current posture of the Republican Party, as they so claim. The simple fact that Lindsey Graham is in there, the guy who called for the United States, I think at one point, to actually nuke Russia, you can't tell me that Vladimir Putin is happy about that. So a lot of people say, well, Vladimir Putin's distancing himself from Trump and trying to play this impartial outsider for the election, and that they don't support Trump is just a way to, you know, to appear as though they're not supporting him when they really are. I don't think so. I think they legit want Kamala in there because they know it will create more social chaos, which will take attention away from what's going on over there. The best way, the only way to destroy the United States is with a civil war. So you can't tell me that they won't want a civil war. All these liberal media agencies were like, you know, Elon is talking to Vladimir Putin and Trump is colluding with Vladimir Putin. They missed the point altogether. These guys don't care who's in charge. They want the American economy to implode. It's as simple as that. So there is no preference for Trump. Putin is not naive to the fact that it was Trump who's planted the seeds for most of these conflicts. And not just Trump himself, but it's the people who Trump surrounds himself with. Look, being president is busy. I couldn't even imagine. You're really just giving speeches, and all of these advisors are the ones kind of making most of the decisions at the end of the day that you say yay or nay on. So, yeah, Trump got out of the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty, started a trade war with China, more North Korean launches and development of nuclear weapons after Trump's, you know, groundbreaking visit to North Korea that everybody thought was the beginning of peace. The complete opposite. Okay, he killed Soleimani, setting off a chain reaction of things where we find ourselves in right now in the Middle East. Okay, so nothing is as it seems. Maybe on domestic policy, you might actually see some change there. But guys, I get that some people are really hopeful. I don't even care at this point, because the fact of the matter is there's going to be international decoupling. Okay, you're going to see drifting into a multipolar world. There's going to be de-dollarization. The debt is going to continue to increase. The division in the country is going to continue to increase. The wars are going to increase, and inflation is going to continue to go through the roof. And right now, after this war starts, you are likely going to see oil go to $200 a barrel, and that is going to cause literal famine for a lot of people. So that's what I think this is all about. I think, look at the timing of this. I mean, this is all coalescing right around Election Day, where you literally have the Iranians about to do the mother of all attacks, a real attack that will necessitate the United States entering into a major war with them right on the eve of the election. I mean, this is probably meant to disrupt. This is actually, it's not only the Americans and the Israelis who are colluding on this. The Iranians have a vested interest in creating chaos right now that would, you know, because this, of course, will lend itself to the divisions within U.S. society. So on that note, please prepare. Just do some extra things tomorrow. You know, get a few extra groceries. Top the gas tank off. You know, in a day, you're not going to be able to accomplish much aside stockpiling stuff. You know, get some cash out of the machine. That's something we've been telling you guys to do for a long time. You know, you should have cash, because if those machines go down, if there is a major cyber attack, and it could even be, like right now, we could have sabotage attempts from within the society, okay? You could have rogue elements who are, you know, an attempt to stop people from voting. They shoot a transformer or something. I mean, anything is possible at this point in time. So right now, all of our adversaries have a vested interest in us fighting with one another. And that is something that is incredibly important And it's too bad that the leadership never seized on that opportunity when Trump was the first Trump assassination attempt to really drive that point home, that the people who benefit most from this are not the Democrats, but the people across the pond, because they understand that the only thing that can destroy a country as powerful as the United States, that's separated by two oceans, is itself. And it looks like that's what's going to happen. So when they talk about political disruption, they're not talking about Putin prefers one candidate over another. Farthest thing from the truth, they want chaos. They want chaos. So try not to play into it. It's going to be a very tense 48 hours. If Trump gets in, then all that means is that all of this stuff is just probably going to get used even sooner. And it is going to be harmonized because both parties, of course, at the end of the day, both are obeisant to Israel. So, you know, if there's one continuity of government, you know, staple, it's support for Israel to the death of all of us. So I think that they're either setting the next government up so that they can be ready to do their thing, or this is going to be a distraction. Either way, this serves both parties' interests at this point in time. Let me know what you guys think in the comments section below. Oil appears to be going up and indicating that indeed something is on the horizon here. So brace for impact, man, because I also think that the economy, no matter who wins, is in for a shock, okay? I would say the economy is in for more of a shock if Trump wins because of what Elon recently said, that they're going to be doing some restructuring, which is going to cause short-term pain, but long-term gain. Short-term pain because they're going to have to cut a bunch of programs and do all this stuff, which might have some short, who knows what they mean by short, 2, 3, 4 year short, periods of economic contraction followed by a big boom afterwards, or at least that's the promise. Buffett is now sitting on a record $325 billion in cash, and that guy is getting old. So I'm just hoping that he's going to be around long enough to tell us what to do next, right? Because if there's anybody who knows the markets, whether you like him or not, it's Warren Buffett, and he's sitting in cash, so that means they're expecting this whole house of cards to collapse at some point. They expect the stock market to fall precipitously. They've divested in Apple, I think, to the tune of almost, I can't remember the exact amount, but it is a lot of money. I don't want to say a trillion in terms of Berkshire Hathaway, but they've divested a lot from their Apple position. So that signals that they think there's going to be a major economic downturn in the future, which could only be caused by decoupling and another war that is going to actually affect oil prices. So brace for impact, my friends. See you in a bit.